Hey Summit Church, Kyle Estep here. We are finally delivering, as promised, some answers to some of the questions that came to us as we navigated through the Gospel of Mark. And what a wonderful study that was. But one of the things we promised back in the fall, and our apologies right now for just how delayed we were in getting this to you, but we wanted to be faithful to do it, and Lord willing to do so well. But there were some questions that started to come up as we navigated through Mark's gospel, because Jesus encounters evil. He encounters demonized people, people that are explicitly under the influence of a demon or demonic activity or principalities and powers that live in opposition to God, or Satan, the enemy himself, just working in opposition to all that God wants. And so we threw the question out there back in the fall. We had 9 or 10 responses, and we were able to just kind of group those into 3 or 4 questions because of the similarities of some of the questions that were asked. And so we wanted to be faithful to address that with you. And honestly, we hope to do more of this in the months to come, the years to come, to just kind of acknowledge that there's a little more conversation to be had from time to time than we can actually do on a Sunday morning, occasionally anyway. Still love to do that on Sundays when we're able. And so this is just an attempt to try to, on the heels of our time through the Gospel of Mark, moving through the Lord's Prayer, still acknowledge that we're in a war. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. And so we wanted to be faithful to address that. So thanks for your time. We're going to hopefully do this in 3 or 4 episodes of just kind of acknowledging each question and giving it its own time and space. So today I want to kick us off with the question, what has God given us to fight against demonic activity if we see it or encounter it? What has God provided for us as we interact with this spiritual warfare that does in fact exist for those who belong to Christ, and honestly exist all around us, with those who are in Christ and those who are not? There is a war for our hearts and minds and life going on, and the scripture talks about this very clearly. The Bible doesn't shy away from the conflict that we face as children of God, and most of the time it's referred to as spiritual warfare. C.S. Lewis noted that believers usually fall into 2 camps when we deal with demonic things, the idea of demonic principalities or powers or evil powers that might be influencing life around us. And he said, we deny their existence altogether, or we get overly fascinated with them. Either way, we too often miss the Bible's basic teachings about the real nature of this conflict. And so with that in mind, knowing that actually we live in a time where a lot of people either deny it or they almost over-realize it in a Hollywood-type fashion, in this more robust, weird, odd, celebratory way that shows up in movies or things like that, we just wanted to try to actually take it at face value for the way the Bible talks about it. So in the question that was first posed, this idea of what has God provided if we actually do encounter these things, I found some primary ideas helpful as we consider the nature of the opposition we face in the spiritual realms. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's hard for us to get our mind around, to believe what Paul's telling us, to believe what we see in the scriptures, that there is activity in opposition to God happening all around us all the time. And how are we to address that? And so here's just a few principles as we think about that, and then maybe a couple practical resources as we think about what do we do if we encounter it. So a few principles to start. One, the Bible is a book about God, not the devil, not the enemy, not Satan, and not all of his authorities or powers. At its core, the Bible's aim is primarily to reveal God and set our gaze and attention upon him. It doesn't promote fixing our attention upon the devil or being overly attentive to his power or principalities or powers or evil things that are happening in the world around us, but to let God set the boundaries of our understanding and focus our hearts and minds upon him, even in the midst of the conflict that we're a part of. Secondly, Satan and his evil forces are in fact real. The Bible does not dismiss them as some first century attempt to explain evil, but actually reveals them as real supernatural beings who oppose God and his people. And so our hope is to deal with them the way the Bible reveals them. Thirdly, Satan and his evil forces are not our only problem in the conflict. So while these things are real and pressing and important to discuss, and we see them in the Gospel of Mark in such a way, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we face at least three enemies: the flesh and mind, our own flesh and mind, apart from Christ, that is captivated by sin and darkness, is also something that we war against. The world around us lives in much opposition to him. And then it says the devil. And so there's an intermingling, as it were, of the effects of sin and brokenness in our own lives, in the world around us, and because of the way the devil seeks to live in opposition to what God wants. And so we have to remember that. Fourthly, God reigns over the enemy in all of his evil ways. This is such a comforting reminder before we get into all the other things that we need to address, that when we encounter evil and demonic activity, we remember there's nothing outside of God's authority or control, even with the devil or the demonic things that we see happening around us. And while that might raise a different set of questions for a different time that we can address, it's important to note that the Bible seems to suggest clearly that nothing is done in spiritual warfare or in this conflict that's outside the bounds of God's care, even. And that's encouraging to us. Just a couple more, three more principles. Number five, our enemy is a defeated foe. I think it's important for us to remember that Satan has been bound through God's judgment and through the cross and the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so there is a beautiful and powerful principle at play that while we are in fact in a spiritual war, the enemy knows his end, his conclusion. And that is a comforting, necessary thing for us to think about. Sixth, we need to remember that warfare always seeks to divide and destroy. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5, the enemy actively seeks whom he might devour and destroy. And I think his aim is to keep the children of God from shining like light into the darkness. One author summarized it this way about his antics: the enemy wants us to mess up, to give up, to get puffed up, to be split up, or to shut up. And I think there's some truth in the motives behind Satan there, about how he's pressing against the people of God on a consistent basis, to kind of divide, destroy, quiet, silence their witness in the world. And that's important to take note of as well. And then lastly, I think another principle to just consider these primary ideas is helpful, and that is we are not just on the defensive, but we are also called to be offensive in this warfare. And I found these words really encouraging. Yes, we stand against Satan. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that clearly. But the standing is not simply waiting or deflecting the arrows of the enemy. Paul says that there's a sense in which even by prayer and by continued proclamation of the gospel, even when imprisoned, the standing is faithfully bearing witness to the beauties and realities of the nature and character of God and his good news in the gospel. And so we put on the full armor of God, not so simply so that we can defend ourselves, but that we can, as one author said, march into the enemy's kingdom and do the work God has called us to do nonetheless. And I think these principles just guide some of our response to what we think, how we posture ourselves, what we do when we encounter the evidence of the enemy's presence and power and work in our world through evil, through demonic forces and influences and powers and principalities. These principles are helpful. The Bible is a book about God, not the devil. Satan and his evil forces are real. Satan and his evil forces are not our only problem. God reigns over the enemy in his evil ways. Our enemy is a defeated foe. Warfare always seeks to divide and destroy. And we're not called just to live defensively, but also to take the offensive posture of standing in this warfare, proclaiming the good news of the gospel, praying in power and confidence that God wants to continue to extend and demonstrate his nature and character in and through even his people, standing firm in the midst of this conflict. And all of these things, just good reminders for us as we begin to address some of the questions that are ahead of us. Principles that I think help us be reminded that God has in fact given us powerful tools to stand firm and to face the conflict with confidence. To know that God is in control, that we belong to Christ, and the enemy has no power over that ransomed position, and that we have the same Spirit indwelling us that raised Christ from the dead in victory over sin and death and hell. We have the word of truth, the support of the body. We have access to the one who wins, and prayer is our pathway in facing this fight that we find ourselves in until he returns. And some of those thoughts, aided by author Chuck Lawless, another named Drew Larson, just some practical things I thought would be good for us to consider as we engage the question. And so to deal with my question, what has God given us to fight against demonic activity if we see it or encounter it? I think in the power of God, we start in this premise of what has God revealed to us, what has he called us to? And I don't want to lose that ground before we go into some of the practical things. So just in the power of God, through his Spirit, in the midst of his people, we are called to love Christ, love our neighbor, love our enemy, and pray for those who persecute us, to live and speak in such a way that God is glorified and an already defeated Satan is actually threatened. I love one author, Drew Larson, summarized the definition of spiritual warfare and our weapons to face it. He said, spiritual warfare is the leveraging of everything that God promises against everything that opposes God's purposes. And I just found that helpful. And I want to set our hearts and minds there because I think remembering truth, clinging to truth, anchoring to truth is really important. And I think it's important because Paul starts his appeal in the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, talking about spiritual warfare, talking about what God has equipped us with to stand firm, to be both defensive and offensive, rightly so as God invites us into the conversation through his word. He starts that with the belt of truth. And I think reminding yourselves of things that are true, holding and clinging to those things, and then living into them is really important. So specifically, I think when we encounter evil, demonic activity, evidences of the enemy's opposition to the things of God, these principles are helpful. I think we pray. And I think we pray specifically. And I think we pray for God to give us a sense of discernment so that we can address what is happening. What am I seeing or encountering? What is it, Lord, that I'm facing in this moment? I mean, biblically speaking, it seems as though demons can exert influence in a variety of ways, and the battle, therefore, is fought differently at different times. And so praying and listening expectantly and intently, God, what do you want me to see? What do I need to see? How do I discern this moment, and how do I move into this moment correctly, is the starting place evidenced throughout the pages of Scripture. I mean, there are certain things we encounter according to Jesus and the way he instructed his disciples that cannot actually be overcome or removed or cast out or defeated apart from the power of prayer and attentive listening to what it is God wants to do in the moment. And so I think the more we lean into dependency upon the Spirit, reading and understanding these things as they are revealed in the text of Scripture, and then living attentive to what God's speaking, it's really, really powerful. The second thing is, I think we have every right to call upon the name of Jesus and embrace his authority over all things. I mean, these are explicitly stated in the text of Scripture that Jesus has all authority, that the Father has granted authority, that there is this relationship of authority that happens between the Father and the Son and the Spirit that we've been invited to embrace and understand and call upon. this one who defends, this one who's a refuge, this one who empowers his people to overcome and to conquer through his grace and his mercy even, but also distinctly through his power, evil when we encounter it. And if it's evident and clear, and if we're leaning in and discerning what God's up to, we've even been given examples where we are invited to speak to the demonic or dark powers or principalities that exist that we encounter in Jesus' name, and to claim clear biblical promises. God is near. He never leaves. He possesses all authority and power. He's in control. And sometimes we see evidence of other ways in which God has instructed his people to fight. I was speaking with a friend even this week who shared that because there are different ways that demons influence people, there sometimes are different responses to that. Sometimes they influence our thinking, and the battle is fought personally by resisting the lies and embracing the truth. This is along the lines of Ephesians chapter 6 and the belt of truth. The rehearsal of what is true is a way to stand firm in spiritual warfare. You see that in Acts and 2 Corinthians and chapter 2, verse 11, this idea that there are ways in which you embrace the truth and personally resist the fight of spiritual warfare. James chapter 4 alludes to this. 1 Peter chapter 4 alludes to this. This kind of continued standing firm in the midst of the fight by embracing the things that are true, the clear promises of God. Secondly, sometimes others are invited to participate in the warfare on behalf of another. And so if someone's under the influence or in the battle of some sense of spiritual warfare, it seems through the text of scripture that praying for others, that the Lord would see them through the battle, is also evidence to us. And my friend was sharing an example of Luke chapter 22 and Ephesians chapter 6, where it doesn't seem like it's just individualistic. There's a corporate nature to the fight that we've been invited into. I think that's extremely helpful. So sometimes we're standing firm in a personal fight. Sometimes we're praying for and interceding on behalf of another. And then lastly, sometimes it seems as though the demonic forces or evil powers can have a hold on someone, and the battle is fought by confronting or speaking, not shouting or storming around or making some kind of grandiose scheme or putting too much emphasis on the way something's going to be done, but the demonic presence is being spoken to and even commanding in the authority we have in Jesus for it to go. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1 and 8 and Acts chapter 8, you see some evidence that we're invited at times to engage in the promises of God and to speak in the authority of the name of Jesus. And those were some of the conversations we were having this week that I found to be helpful. We pray specifically and listen intently and expectantly. We call upon the authority in the name of Jesus as we've been invited to do so. And when evident at times as the Lord leads, we speak to evil in the name of Jesus, and we claim clear biblical promises as we engage in this conflict and this warfare. And so I think discernment, listening, and being attentive, but also I think there's a really wonderful reality that we're told so frequently, do not be afraid. And one of the ways to live without fear in the face of evil, without fear when we encounter these things, is to constantly be rehearsing and reminding ourselves of what is true. That's why we started with some of those primary ideas. Rehearse what is true, cling to what is true, be ready so that when the encounter with evil, or perhaps the war, the conflict with principalities and powers in opposition to God comes along, we are ready to stand firm, to listen to the Lord, to be attentive to his leading, and to lean in with confidence that he is a God who delivers his people, who delivers others and sets them in position of freedom, and who brings grace upon grace for every part of the conflict. So more questions to come and be answered, but just starting with a posture of what resource has God given us? What has God allowed us to have at our disposal because of his grace and his mercy and because of the Spirit indwelling us that allows us to fight well in this conflict that we are a part of as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus. So I hope that's an encouragement to you, and I hope the rest of the questions and answers will be just another encouragement along the way to trust the goodness and faithfulness of our God in the midst of this conflict until the day he comes and puts a final resolution to all of it. Thanks for listening.